Okay, today's daf is daf Nun Aleph. So, the last thing that we had learned was another issue of a minhag, where the minhag had no basis in the halacha, but because it was something that the forefathers of these people who came to find a heter had been mekabel on themselves, the chumra, Rabbi Yochanan told them that they have to be noig isser because of Shema b'ni Musar Avicha. A continued discussion of different minhagim is on the bottom of Amud Beis, two lines up. I can't believe it. B'nei Chozoi. There was a minhag of B'nei Chozoi that they used to take off challah from rice. So they came and told Rabbi Yosef about this minhag. And he told the people that had come to discuss the minhag, should take their truma, have a non-kohen sit and eat that truma in front of their noses, so that they learn that there is no such animal as truma from Orez. What about the Mishnah? Then we have Dvorim Mutarim v'Acharim Noagu Ben Isur. It was the same idea. Al Yishane Adam Mipnei Amachloket and so on. To go and to eat it in front of their noses. I mean, wasn't that the whole point of our Mishnah? Welcome Shinagu Shalallah. So I mean, I had him to take off challah. Iyatar Shaila Tiram Bifnehem. Omar Lo. The love meat, Maralo, I'm Rafista Bikutoi. Didn't Rafista give a very important addition to that halakha and say that it's only Nogea Kutin? Because Kutin, if they see you being Nohega Heter, because their entire religion is essentially tradition based, they have no clear sense of what is correct, what is incorrect, how to be Dorish, not to be Dorish, like we saw in Chulin. Whatever it is that they happen to keep, they keep better than Jews keep. But that's because it's a religious ritual, not because it makes any sense. So if they see somebody who's not knowing, and the entire structure falls apart because they don't have anything but whatever social context, and that without that context, they'll end up not keeping any mitzvahs. So for Kutim, they have to be careful not to ruin their lives. But for normal people, they understand this. But Chlokes is even not stupid.
You want to support the Kutim in their...
We certainly don't want people who may have a din of gayrim to be stoned to fall apart completely. Okay. I mean, you're right, it's a very interesting diak. I mean, you find the same thing today with Bali Chuga, very often. But people come in, they have absolutely no context for knowing the difference between it. The Urai said, the Rabbanan, it's all sort of one big religious thing. So if they see somebody that's going to be mati or something, they go crazy. I learned that was awesome. And the whole building seems to fall apart because it takes years to discover the real context. So you have to be careful. It's the same idea. Says the Gemara, okay, fine, but Kutoy is an abstraction. It's not talking about a particular group of people. And the Kutoy, my time, and Mishum de Misr Chemilta. The whole point of the Kutoyim is because they don't have a context. And therefore, they're going to end up falling down because they see people that are mizalzel and they're minhagim. So, Hanachichinami, Sarachin Yilta. I mean, is it the same thing going to happen over this Bnei Chozai? They're not Talmid HaChachamim. They don't really have a context. They're religious people, like from the shtetl, whatever. They don't know anything. So they have this religious minhag. But if they see people not keeping the minhag, this is what happened to all of those Europeans came to America, you know, the immigrations. The context was different. They saw different pressures, different ideas. And once one thing went, everything went. There was no middle ground. So why did you have to be just as careful of Bnei Chozai as you would for Kutay? Therefore, I disagree with you. How can you go ahead and just eat it in their faces? El Amar Ravashi, we don't do what Rabbi Yosef said. We first have to determine Chazina. If the main staple of life in Bnei Chozai is indeed rice, so then we have Nichle. Then we understand that the problem is over there that apparently, because of the chashash, they would end up forgetting the entire concept of taking challah because they don't use the dogon that we use. They use rice. So over there, we should let them keep this minute because it's not so much bad could come of it, then there's a lot of good, because we're afraid that they'll forget the nature of Teres Challah. But the Iruban Dagan, however, if most of them eat not Orez but Dagan, then this is a very bad minute. I don't care what their reasoning is. Nech Lazar Bayapayo, let somebody eat it in front of them to prove to them that it's ridiculous. Because then, because if they start taking this thing seriously, then they may end up, if they do have Dagan, taking Challah from an Orez bread on a Dagan bread or vice versa. Either way, that's a disaster. Because obviously, if you take from an Orez on a Dagan, you're going to end up with a completely useless tevel. The Dagan didn't get any challah taken from it. So it's left now with the tevel. And vice versa. You give now a Kohen Dagan, thinking that you're taking off this Dagan for Orez, the Dagan remains tevel, because the shame challah was never challah on it. So therefore, either direction, it's a disaster. The Shaila is like this. And as I mentioned to you yesterday, we need to be very careful about discussing the concepts of these types of minhagim. For instance, we had the story of Rebbe back in Kulin, where he was matir the whole Beit Shan, and everybody was yelling at him, how can you be matir Beit Shan? And we were knowing Yisr here, Mokum Shabotecha, Ve'avot Avotecha, Nagubo Yisr, and now you're going to come and be knowing Heter. And he said, what's the big deal? Why we've discovered that the halakha is Beit Shan is not considered to be a chelik of Eretz Yisrael from Beit Shnia. So what's the problem? So how do we explain all of that? So Tosis over here brings from the Megillat story, Niran's Chibur, that the only time that we say Horem HaMutarim V'Acherem Nagubo and Yisr is where the people who were knowing Yisr knew that they were knowing something that was a Chumrah. They didn't take it seriously themselves in terms of believing that that's the halacha. So, in other words, he's medai dvarim hamutarim, meaning dvarim that they know are mutarim, but that they're noeg ben iser anyway. Good. Dvarim that people are noeg iser because they think it's usher, obviously you're supposed to be matir bifneya. Because over there, you're going to end up with mistakes in the halacha and so on. You have to set people straight as to what the din is. If they have a separate chumrah that they know is a chumrah, then it's okay. You'll ask, if that's the case, then what are we worried about over here that they're going to end up using this for real dagan if they know the difference? The Tosis explains, because lamaisa, even though this may be the institution of the minhag, it doesn't mean that throughout the years everybody's going to know this. Generally, what ends up happening is that the more educated part of the population knows what's going on. The less educated part of the population throws it into a religious pot in which everything is the same. That's the problem. And then, from these types of minhagim, can come kukulin. So then we have to analyze, that's what Ravashi is doing. We need to analyze what is more kedai. Do we have more benefit from this minhag? Such as in a case where they're going to be rubam of Dorgandal, in the Meshach HaDorot, they're going to forget about challah completely, or is it more of a loss? Ruben Oris, but I say
right. So why do we say that every time?
Why do we say what every time?
We should always say that even if they know that this is really mutter, then why do we ever say that for the term is you know Ben Nisr? We should always let ourselves towards misleading.
If you're talking about a mistake in halacha, the etzem, the minhag, then it's not a minhag, it's a mistake. Okay. Therefore, none of this applies, because it doesn't have any validity. Right. Despite the fact, in other words, we are not interested, this in terms of Ramati's question earlier, we are not interested in supporting a false vision of what is true and what is not true. That we're certainly not interested, even if it's for Kutayim. If your whole structure is going to fall apart, isn't there, let it fall apart. But we are interested in not damaging constructs that you've made for yourselves and are aware that they're constructs that you've made for yourselves. That's where they're chumris.
Well,
one moment. Now, based on that, that doesn't mean, as we see over here, that we're going to accept any and all such constructs. Because if lemaisa they end up being damaging, and why would they be damaging? Because of the fact that there's a proportion of the population that will take them seriously, that doesn't mean that it's the same as a mistake. It's that proportion that will end up making the kilkul. So that's taken into consideration in terms of the cost-benefit. Right? We've got to make now a cost-benefit analysis. Most people know. Most people will not be hurt by it, etc., etc. Some people don't know. The Meshach HaDorot, what will be the cost-benefit for this? It's going to end up costing us maybe some people that will end up taking Dagan, you know, Challah from Dagan or vice versa. On the other hand, we're going to end up having people that will remember the dinam of Challah. What's Kedai? So that's a very careful analysis, which Rav Ashi is saying Rav Yosef made a mistake in not making. Masha'inkin, if it's be'etzem a mistake, it's not that a proportion will come to view it as a mistake, in a way that's mistaken, then we don't reckon it as a minhag bichlal. That's what Tosfos is saying. You can't ask because there's a proportion that's going to view it, therefore let's view the whole thing as a mistake. It's not a fair question. It doesn't follow rationally. One is a chashash, and what is the definition of what's happening? Okay. Now, the question is, when we say you can't be matir b'fneihem, does that mean only to those kind of people? In other words, let's say a Talmud Chacham comes from one of these places, the Nefuzah. He knows, and he's sitting in the basement. Can you tell him, look, you know, now you're here, I mean, nobody's going to see you, so forget about it, it's ridiculous, the whole thing is, there's no marker for it, it's just over there. Or is this only a halacha in, you don't have to be makpid? In other words, the Gemara said over here that, according to Rav Kiska, the only hakpada of not acting out in front of them as if it makes no difference is set for kutayim, or for those like kutayim who don't have a proper context for what they're doing. Does that also mean that you can be moderate to them? There's two separate questions over here, says Tosfos, so we have to keep them separate. One is the question of the Mishnah. Can you be noheg heter? For yourself, you're not part of them. Are they going to go crazy because they see somebody being noheg heter? That's a question of kutayim. Then we have the other question. Can you be matir for them? Can you tell them that it's mutter? Because that's what Rav Yosef wanted to do. He wants to actually go out and be matir. So it's iyat ha-rishay lahatir, or iyat ha-rishay, that's lahatiran b'fneihem, or you have to be noheg, as our Mishnah says, al yishana adam b'fneihem ha-korban. There's two different levels over here. It's not clear whether, and Tosfos doesn't have a clear raya yet from our sugya, as to whether people who do know, whether you're able, in fact, to be matir themselves. Can you be matir to a Talmud Chacham from these locations? Or does it just mean you can be matir la'atzmo in front of someone who will not fall apart because he knows? Again, that is talking about in these minhagim that are not really minhagim that were nohug. They're not nohug, that is to say, al-pigono. Now, as I mentioned to you, you're all falling asleep here. This is important stuff. As I mentioned to you yesterday, there is a nafkamina, and Tosfos makes this nafkamina here, between minhagim that were nohug al-pi-bezdin in a particular place, who took into consideration, and therefore there's no problem from our Mishnah, because the question in our Mishnah is talking about a minhag in which the bezdin of that place reminded the people to do this. Mokum Shinago is not just because these people are kutayim or anything, because then our Mishnah becomes our contradiction to all of this. Why don't we say it? It's nafkamina, they're kutayim. The Mishnah is talking about, according to the Ri, where the godel of the town, the bezdin of the town, was manig a minhag. These cases of B'nai Chuzari are talking about where the people ended up with this minhag for whatever reason. And therefore, we treat that this is called technically minhag she'ein al chashuv. So, in other words, we have three dargahs. We have mistakes in halakha that have come to be the accepted norm in a particular location. We have a minhag that is nohug al pi, the chacham ha'ir. And we have minhag that were nohugim just because it became a tradition, in which we can't trace back the particular roots for the tradition. We need to clarify the differences between those vis-a-vis the following issues. Being matirit for them and telling them that they're wrong. Being matir to those of them who know the context and have a halacha, that they themselves can be knowing elsewhere where they don't have a problem in front of them. Or allowing yourself to go according to your own minhag in that location. There's three different issues about three different types of minhagim. Therefore, don't jump to conclusions in our sugya, because you need to first be able to define what type of thing we're talking about. Okay, that having been said, let us continue. Gufa. Dvarim ha-mutarim v'akarim nahagu behen yisur, yata reshay la'atiran b'fneihem. Omer Rav Chisda, and as we just mentioned, Rav Chisda clarified that halacha is talking about kutoy. People who don't have a context for understanding your heter. V'kulei alma lo? Is it true that this is only kutoyim and not other places? V'atanya. How about this bright? Rochatzim shnei akim ke'echad, but in rochatzim shnei akim b'kvul. Normally we have no limitations on two brothers going into a public bath together. We're not koshish for any type of homosexual tendencies or anything like that. But in kvul, there you can't have two brothers that are going to go into a bathhouse together. U'ma'asebi Yehuda v'Hillel, b'navshe Rebbe Gamliel. Now here are Yehuda and Hillel, who were brothers. I mean, they weren't exactly the type to get turned on in the bath, you understand. Shirachatzu shneim ke'echad b'kvul. They both go into the baths in kvul, and the whole city starts going bananas. What in the world? V'la'ezal me'em kolam adina, I can't believe it. What are we voting over here for Alei Yarok or something? What's happening? Mi'ameinu lo ra'inu kach. We've never heard of such a thing in our lives. I'm telling you, this was scandals. They were putting out newspapers. It was unbelievable. So anyway, Hillel just ran out and sat in the other, in the outside, where, you know, in the outside of the Mikvah. So Nishmat Hillel v'yatzala beit achitzon v'lo ratzal omar lehem mutarim atem. He didn't want to tell them, this is ridiculous. Now, these people were not kutayim, and nonetheless, they felt that, look, if everybody's going to go crazy, respect their nonsense. Or another thing, yotzin b'kodekisen b'shabbos. You're allowed to wear slippers, or what do they call those? Those things that, you know.
You slip in without shoes.
You slip in, what do you call it? Clogs. You're allowed to wear clogs on Shabbos, but nein yotzin b'kodekisen b'shabbos b'biri. You better not wear clogs in biri. You know what's good for you. Because over there, they pick up the clogs and clog you over the head. Umaisa, poor Yehuda and Hillel. They're getting it from all sides.
If they wear clogs, they're going to go into a bathhouse.
This is it. Umaisa, but Yehuda, the Hillel, the Nafshur, the Gamliel, she had to the Kurdikisin, the Shabbos, the Piri, the Loza, the Hena, the Dina, the Umrumi, I made a Lorino cock. These guys are crazy. It was bad enough what happened over there, and now they're going out with clogs on Shabbos. This is outrageous.
Everybody
looks alive. It was absolutely outrageous. So what did they do? They took off the clogs in the middle of the street. Shomtum v'natnum avdehem. They gave it over to the goyim that were with them. V'lo ratzu lomar lehem mutarim atem. They didn't want to say, hey, friends, there's nothing wrong with clogs. You can wear clogs from now on. It's okay. They didn't want to say that. Now, these people weren't kutim. And another story in the Braita, Now you can sit down on a counter outdoors that is used for selling goods when the stores are open, and nobody's going to think that, apparently he's doing business on Shabbos. They're going to figure you want to take a little rest. But don't do that in Akko. That was a ma'aseh of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. She yashav asat zolei mochrim b'shabbat ba'akov. V'la'azalav kol ha'medina. The whole country was talking about it. Omri mi'ameinu lo ra'inu kach. We never saw anything like this. Outrageous. Nishmat agav yikarkei sat down on the ground. V'lo ratzal omar lehem mutarim atem. So these are like the mishpachas on the sea. The gedolei hador. Understand?
Does that make sense?
So it was a ma'aseh. It was a beautiful ma'aseh with the Satmar Rebbe, where the whole Eidah Haredes follows the Satmar. So at once they asked him, what about this? Behaviors and throwing things and this. Why don't you tell them? You know, Shabbos and so on, screaming at the Shabbos. He says, I don't understand you guys. Because the reason that I'm their Rebbe is because I tell them the things they like to hear. The moment I tell them something they don't like, I'm not the Rebbe anymore. Here you got the Gedolei Hador. We're the Gedolei Hador because they approve of our Piskei Halacha. The moment we tell them something is mutter, it would all be over. On the other hand, if you have the guts to be a real Rebbe, it's a beautiful story, but a recent story by the Ger Rebbe. The Ger came out with a psak, not a psak, but a takana against making asanas that are expensive. At a specific cost that you're allowed to spend and so on. So one, the guy who was very rich, came to the Rebbe and said, this is for people that's on their level. Indeed, it's a very important takana for me. I mean, it's inappropriate that I should make a chassel. Everybody expects all my business associates and so on. And I'm such a rich guy. If I make a chassel like that, it's downright insulting. So for me, it should be worth it. So the rabbi told him, you're right. You're such a rich guy. You could buy yourself another rabbi, too. All right. So anyway. No, they should have told him, right? What do you mean? There's no better way to tell him. No, they wouldn't tell him. Lo ratzulam alem. They wouldn't tell him. So these people are not kutayim, and nonetheless, you see, they didn't want to. Says the Gemara, because b'nei medinat hayam nami, kivan delo shtichi rabbonim gabayo kikutim dam. These people are the equivalent of kutim. Some don't have medinat hayam. B'nei medinat. People that live in smaller areas are not exposed to real chokhma. They don't. They're basically shtetlach. So what do they know? They know their minhag, and to them the minhag is their Torah. They can't differentiate between
tradition.
Huh?
Tradition,
exactly. So the moment that you break tradition, you're going to break everything for them. Okay, so you sit on the floor. It's not the end of the world. What are you going to tell them? Because then they start. So if I was mistaken about that, I could be mistaken about everything. This was my one of my big tainas against discovery courses, is teach people non-fact in order to make them religious. But as soon as they discover something is wrong, they think the whole thing is wrong. Because you have to be very careful. You're going to bring a person into Judaism because you'll show him Darwin's black box. See, it must be there's a creator. Whatever it is, all these, the codes, Bible codes, whatever. So the moment that they recognize that part isn't true, they say, the whole thing isn't true. Because they have no real way of dealing with it. And then these people, since they don't have any context, then you have to be careful not to be matir anything to them. Says the Gemara, but look, what was the point of all of these weird minhag? So, safsalei nochrim, I understand that there is some mikor, but you can't have a minhag that doesn't have any relationship to Torah. So, safsalei nochrim, the mishum, the mitzik, and mekachu memka. Okay, so they were marked, but it looks like people are doing business on Shabbos, I understand. So, the kodikisun, the wearing clogs on Shabbos, dilim mishtalfin, v'yasi v'sina arvamas, v'shus. So, Rabbi understand, clogs don't have really a way of staying on the foot. So, if it falls off, you may pick it up, and instead of putting it back on, you'll carry it. But what's this business about? My time, just because people have these weird obsessions. I mean, what does that have to do with the Torah? Is there a marker for males not going to a bath together? So I think more, yes. Kedatanya, im hakol adam rochets, chutz mi'aviv v'chamiv, ubal imo, ubal achoto. Actually, we do have takonas about how it is, with whom it's appropriate to bathe. So we made takonas aren't as been appropriate as in terms of a child going in with a father or with a father-in-law or with a husband of one's mother and with a husband of one's sister. Because all of these cases are cases in which we need to consider the possible sexual repercussions in which the person begins thinking about what's happening. After all, this is the guy that's sleeping with my sister, and so on and so forth. So there we're makbid. When Rabbi Yehuda is matir ba'aviv v'kvod aviv, let him ba'al imo. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says, look, it's more important for a son to be with a father in the mikvah, because he can help him. He can bring him tea, he can bring him soap, he can bring him a towel, and so on. That's not kedai to be matir. These people didn't just come up with some weird obsession. What they said was, gozru b'shnei achim mishum ba'al achoto. They felt that if you want to continue to be makbid at treating a brother-in-law with a certain distance because of the sexual connotations of his relationship with your sister, you won't be able to maintain that unless you make it a thing about fraternity, b'chlal, and therefore you say, okay, brothers, brother-in-law, it's all the same thing. It wasn't just crazy.
But by saying
bishlod,
isn't saying that it is legitimately replaced to be machmir?
In the other cases?
Yeah.
Right. Bishlam, it has some type of makor.
And yet the previous thing is that...
Yeah, but obsessions are not a proper bakum for being mafkin. It has to have halakhic context. So we're saying there is halakhic context. The context is that we do have a certain level of sensitivity to perhaps some far out sexual turn-on.
I'm thinking earlier. Bishlam, says...
Right. That makes sense. Even though it's wrong, but it makes sense. I understand where it's coming from. I understand that it's coming from a concern for a maslamat.
Right.
I understand it's coming from a concern of dimati latu yarbam.
And yet it's still compared to the kutim.
Right. Yeah. In terms of the people that are keeping this. Again, we need to distinguish between what they're keeping and who's doing the keeping. It's a different level. But something that the halal doesn't have any kind of makar, what in the world is going on over here that we're taking it seriously? Tana, Talmid lo yirchatz im rabo. We have the same halacha of a Talmid and a Rav, not because of sexual turn-ons, but because we want to maintain the level of kabod. So generally speaking, there's more kabod when you treat a person when he's fully clothed. But im rabo tzarich lo mutar. However, if the Rav we've seen before, that some Talmid would always be mishamish the Rav to bring him what he needs. So then it would be mutar. Now there was a minhag that we spoke about back in Chulin regarding the chelev that is on the stomach. The chelev on the stomach after all is shaped, if you draw the outline, is shaped like a bow for a bow and arrow. The straight side of the stomach is called the string of the bow, called the aitra. The other side is called the keshet, basically, the bent part of the bow. So there was a difference in minhag about the fat that was along the straight side, which was called the aitra from the Lashon of Yeter. The Yeter is the string in a bow. So B'nai Bavel used to be careful not even to eat the chalev of the Aitra, even though it's not chalev, it's shuman.
It's right in the back.
Yeah, not the back. But, I don't know, it's not back. I mean, it's the stomach is shaping on it. It's not the back. It doesn't face out, whatever. You're thinking of a beer belly and thinking that's the stomach. That's what I'm thinking also, but that's what I'm thinking of.
The real stomach.
Or for cannibals, it might be okay. Okay, so over there, in Bavel, you used to be careful not to eat any of the fat, even the part on the eye, even though that was mutter, and it wasn't chalev. So now, when Rabbi Bar Bar Kana came to Bavel on a visit, so he was eating the Aitra. All of a sudden, there's a knock on the door, and Olagabe Ravavira Saba and Rabba Bereda Ravuna. So these two Gedalim are coming to visit him, and there he is eating Tarfus, you know. So he sees them walking in, so he covers it up quickly. I see him now, he covers it up. So they were very upset that he covered it up. And he said to Abaya, look at this. Shavin Kukikutoi. What, you think we're Kutim? What? I didn't understand. Why did he cover it up? But first of all, what was Rabbi Bar Bar Kana doing, eating the Aitra? I thought we said that Rabbi Bar Bar Kana let Le'ad Etzan Notim Alav Chumrei HaMakom Sheyatzah Misham V'Chumrei HaMakom Shehalach L'Sham. Isn't there a different issue over here? He was in Bavel. This is a different question. He was in Bavel. The minhag in Bavel is not to eat the Aitra. And we said in the Mishnah that you're not matir even for yourself in a place where you're visiting that has a minhag L'Chumrei. You have to keep that Chumrei. So why over here wasn't he makbid? And this was a minute question. Amar Abaye, now this is very central to our whole discussion about Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyot, people coming to visit in Eretz Yisrael. What's the din? Do they keep Yom Tov Sheni or not? Gurmei Amakum Sheyatzavi Shem, Gurmei Amakum Shalak L'Sham. Amar Abaye, Hani Nile Mi Bavel Le Bavel Umi Eretz Yisrael Le Eretz Yisrael. If you're traveling from one town in Bavel to another, or one town in Eretz Yisrael to another, you have to take the chumras if you're visiting of that town. For that matter, even if you were coming from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, you'd have to take the chumras of Eretz Yisrael. But from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, you do not have to take the chumras of Bavel. Because kivan danan kafinan lavud, avdinan kavatayu. Since we here in Bavel are dependent on Eretz Yisrael because they're they have smicha, they're the ones who allow us, because of their smicha, to do their shlichut at various halachot. So memela, we have to follow them, and they are not mechuyev to follow us. So since Rabbi Bar Bar Kana was visiting from Eretz Yisrael, he didn't have to be makbid. Rav Ashi Amar, afilu tema me'Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Even if it were true that when you're coming from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, you have to keep them in hagim l'chumra of Bavel, that's only if hani mileyek adein da'ator l'achzor. That's only if you don't intend to go back to Eretz Yisrael. But Rabbi Bar Bar Kana was da'ator l'achzor havi. He intended to go back to Eretz Yisrael. He was only there on a visit, and therefore did not have to keep the chumras of Bavel. Omele Rabbi Bar Bar Kana levanei. He told his children, banai, lo tochal lo b'fanai v'lo shelo b'fanai. As far as you're concerned, you should not be eating the Aitra. Do as I say, not as I do. I'll eat the Aitra. You can go hungry. Ani shera iti et Rabbi Yochanan sh'achal. I watched Rabbi Yochanan eating the Aitra. Good enough for me. Kedayu Rabbi Yochanan lismoch alav v'fanav v'shalo v'fanav. You don't have to be sitting there in front of him to be dependent on his tzak. You could be same on him even when you're not in front of him. Ata lo ra'ita oto. You didn't see Rabbi Yochanan. I'm not the kind of person you can rely on. Afilu b'fanai. And therefore, you have no right. You have to follow the tzak in your area. So ata lo ra'ita oto lo tochal bein b'fanai ben shalo b'fanai. Says the Gemara, but wait. Pligeti de'ati de. In another situation, which was similar to this, he did consider himself choshev enough to be seimech on him, in front of him at least. Because the Omer Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Sakli Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar, Pa'am achat nichnasti acharei Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yossi ben Nekunya legina, v'natal svichei kruv, v'yachal v'natanli. So one time I went into this gina, I went into this garden. And this is Rabbi Bar Bar Chana who's saying this all. Went into this garden, and he took Svichei Kruv during Shemitah. Rashi learns it's talking about Svichei Kruv that was after the time of the Biur. And it happened. Tosfos says, I'd be after the time of the Biur. So why was it growing in the garden? After the time of the Biur means it wasn't available. So no, in his private garden, he had Svichei Kruv. Outside, in Afinami, it was no longer available. V'achal, he ate the svichei kruv that had grown up on its own during shvias. V'natan, and he gave me to eat. And he said, V'omar li, b'ni b'fanai achol, shalo b'fanai lo tochal. You can rely only when you're in front of me. Because anishra iti Rav Shimon bar Yochai she'achal. I saw Rav Shimon bar Yochai eating svichei kruv. Kedayu Rav Shimon bar Yochai l'smoch alav, b'fanav v'shalo b'fanav. I can rely on him, because I don't need his standing presence to be the testimony that that's the psak. But when it comes to you, you can rely on me in front of me. Ata b'fanai achol, but shalom b'fanai lo tochal. Which psak of Rabbi Shimon was he referring to? My Rabbi Shimon, the Tanya Rabbi Shimon, Omer kol ha-svichin ha-surin, chutz mi-svichei kruv, she'in kayotzei behem b'yerek ha-sadeh. There's no other type of svichim like svichei kruv, and therefore svichei kruv are mutarim during Shemitah. Why exactly that's true is not clear. Rashi has a number of approaches. The approach that he thinks is best is because kruv is never really kol olachayim, and asadah is always a little bit left of the roots, and therefore there never is a zman bir for kruv. So there can't be a time which will become asur. Tosus has a totally different approach to the whole sugya. It's not talking, according to him, about akas man habiur, and it's a question bechalal on svichin, as we'll see in a moment. But you know what's real? Yeah.
So this case over here, Rabbi Barachana was bringing it down, but he wasn't one of the two players over here.
But since he's saying it in a way that implies that if somebody saw a testimony, that in front of that person you can rely on what it is that he saw, because it's continued testimony, why does he hold that when he's testifying about Rabbi Yochanan, that's not good enough?
Be just that
I'm not relying. I'm not telling you to psalm. I'm relying on what I saw. So then that's like an Adis. It's like you're standing in front of Rabbi Yochanan at that time. You're standing in front of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai doesn't have to be standing here. But the Adis that sees Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai has to be standing there. Because that's what makes you stand in front of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. The point over here is the nature of Adis. Not the nature of the psalm. Not the nature of the trustworthiness, the etzem. In other words, the idea is this. Rav Shimon bar Yochai said it, that's sufficient. But the problem is that you would have to be hearing his psak, because everybody around you is maybe knowing otherwise. So if I'm here and I saw him, then in my presence you're standing through me in the presence of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, which is what testimony does. It recreates presence. But if I'm not here, you're no longer in Rav Shimon's presence. So therefore, it's not going to help you. I am the one who actually saw it. I'm always basically in that matzah.
I mean, this is similar to what you're saying. That he's saying kedai, meaning that I'm not. I have such chizik behind this psak that I can go ahead and know that even though everyone else is doing otherwise, it's not going to affect me. Whereas if you go ahead and do it where everyone else is doing it, it's like
No, this is not because of effectiveness. It's because of how one can rely on piskei halakas from around. Like we find a difference in his place or not in his place, how it is that you're knowing, and so on. So in other words, the shaila's over here, I'm not giving you my psak to say, this is my psak. I'm not giving you a psak b'chlal. I don't even know anything about it. I'm simply relying on Rav Shimon bar Yochai. But since to you, my statement is no different than the machlokes that you read in the Gemara, the Chachamim didn't agree with Rav Shimon bar Yochai. So you can't just say, daddy follows Rav Shimon bar Yochai. So what? So I'm the role all of a sudden. So I, in my presence, you're basically sitting at Rav Shimon bar Yochai's table where you have a right to be sitting on him. It's a mode of paskening, which is very special. It's even more palatable, because as Tosis points out, those of you, when we did the Yerushalmi on Shvias, if you recall, we learned this maisa, was that Rav Shimon bar Yochai was walking along, and he sees a guy that's going collecting svichei kruv during Shemitah. So he says to the guy, what are you doing? And the guy says, what do you mean? You're the one who says it's mutter. So he says, well, because I say it's mutter, therefore you can do it. When the rove is like, if the rove is against me, sure enough, the snake comes out, bites the guy, and he dies. See, we're going to rely on him. He didn't want to be mutter to anybody. We're going to rely on him to go ahead and to eat. That's crazy. What's going on? So again, it's a Tosha says, because even Rav Shimon bar Yochai, his friend Nadea Holtzogi over here, did not want to be mutter to Amei Haaretz, that they should be sermet on him, because they have paskin halacha like that. So Bishleim is somebody who knows that there is a state in which we have the in-between psak. There was no psak pesach. So even though the rov is against you, that has nothing to do with it. You could be semech, because you're semech on this rov. It's nafkamina. Rov is not a way in which you act all the time. Rove is a way in which you follow a psak that's in front of you. So he felt Amiarets are not sensitive to that. He didn't want to be mocked in front of an Amiarets unless it was an actual psak halacha like that. Okay? But over here, when I'm telling you that I serve Shem Bar Yochai, I'm relying on Shem Bar Yochai. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not b'chuyev to say, well, since most people are going to Shem Bar Yochai, maybe I'll follow Moses. What do I have to follow Moses? If it comes to a vote, then I have to follow Moses. The Torah told me to follow Moses, right? Okay. We, of course, have extended that most idea, starting with basically the work of the tour, who started with the concept of take the rove of the poskin and pass like rove of the post, which is a whole new concept. Certainly it's not the way in which we normally would view the idea of rove in a psak bezin, that's called rubidi the kaman and so on. Then, okay, so we extended it because of the fact that we don't have a bezin. But what the tour did was an immense chiddush, basically, in an approach to things, right? Because, I mean, first of all, you imagine you have a bezin in front of you that consists of, you'll have the Rosh and the Rambam and the Rif, and let them pass. Exactly. Okay, it's not quite a bezin. All right, so there's such an idea of the Tzurat of the Shmaikata that we find in the Gemara, which the Gemara talks about the way that Rov of the Sugya seem to be assuming. Rov of the Sugya seem to be assuming, so then that adds up to Aloha. So it's not a completely brand new idea, but certainly giving it the Hashivas of a Rov is a new way of looking at it. Okay, so that's what Taisa says over here. The Nerach and Amrit Shem Bayechoi wouldn't be Matir because of the fact that they're Amiharis, but this whole Sugya is based on to whom to be Matir, to whom not to be Matir. He was talking to his own children. This, if I'm here in front of me, you have to rely on me.
Yes,
exactly. Exactly. Through me. That's a question of authenticity. People often have that feeling in which I met the guy who met the guy.
Right.
There's some beautiful essays by Stephen Gould about the nature of authenticity. The people want to be in the presence of the thing. Not like how chashev that is, that presence. Okay.
You see, for me, that the great gadol doesn't have to pass on the road at all. For the first time. You have a gadol, you have a dead Miss Africa. Like, it will completely different to the way the rest of the world uses the idea. Like, it's getting
into the world. Of course.
Even against the law, it's like a mosque. Even against what the church has done.
A bezdin in its makom. Every makom follows its bezdin. That's the klal. But nowadays, there's no bezdin our gadol. So each place has its own piskei halacha. The only time you run into problems is when you get an internet. Same thing that happened to poor South Africa when they got television. I remember my father's that's all. I thought it was so exact. When they first were mocking TV in South Africa, his immediate reaction was, that's it. That's the end of South Africa. Yeah, because there's no possible way to maintain the system of government. And I mean, every other time in history when there was transition like that, it destroyed the country. It's the only time in history, if you think about it, in which something like that happened and the country should continue to live as if nothing has happened. That's absolutely astonishing. I mean, that's why everybody left. Because if you learn from history, you know they're going to be coming around with machetes and, shechting the white men, especially the Jews. This is what happened with Rhodesia and so on. Well, why wouldn't it happen in South Africa? You got to be crazy to stay. That's what people felt. The whole change there is miraculous, but whatever the Nakuda is, it's certainly a new world that such a thing could happen. But I remember his reaction immediately was, that's it, it's over. And I missed that was certainly the fact. All right, so there you have a problem with Lotit Kodidu. Right? As the Torah says, you can't have contradictory piske halakas in one place. I mean, that no longer is a practical thing. When you have, there's no such thing as a place. Everybody does whatever the heck they want. The only time you find maybe today a true lot is going to do is if somebody comes down to the coast and puts on his throne and they're calling away. There you have these reactions like in Kvul. But other than that, I've never seen such a thing.
Is it davening on second day?
I'm saying then already says everybody knows this is people from there, that's people from them, and the whole concept has fallen apart because of the way in which everybody's aware of everybody else's business.
But even if they're aware of it, this is the way we do practice.
Yeah, of course. There's an Indian where people are resentful and it creates friction, and then it's still us around. 100%. Okay, anyway, let's get we're getting a little bit out of our bounds here. So what was Rabbi Shimon? What was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? So he tainet svichei kruv mutari. The Chachamim omrim kol asvichim asurim, even including svichei kruv. Both the Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim were following the din of Rabbi Akiva. Chavaya olivet Rabbi Akiva. The Tanya, when Klal Yisrael says, v'chi tamru manu chal bashana shvihit, what are we supposed to eat? Ein lo nizra v'lo nesofet v'atenu. We're not going to be planting and we're not going to be then harvesting. I mean, says Rabbi Akiva, well, I should hope not. If you didn't plant, what would you be harvesting? Exactly. Why do they mention separately we're not going to be harvesting if they're not going to be anything to harvest? Must be mikan the Sfichim Shein HaSarim. So from here you see that natural growth, natural increase, is or seeds that fall, and of course that's how Tosfos learns in Nafkamina. Seeds that fall is one thing. Continued growth of an existing plant like the cabbage is another thing. But anyway, Mikan HaSfichim Shein HaSarim. So you see from here, even if it grew on its own, so plenty of grains had fallen the year before, sprouted spontaneously, now without my needing to go ahead, and it says, hey, lo ne'asof, apparently you're not allowed to collect that. So you see that Tzvichon or Asuri. So what is the machlok? It's about Tzvichon Kruv. So the Maikam, if the Rabbanan say, we got to read Tzvichon Kruv about the Shar Tzvichon Yalma. Rabbanan say people cannot distinguish between types of Tzvichim, and therefore we ask for all of them, and Rav Shimon Tzvichon look at Tzvichon Kruv about the Tzvichon Yalma. Now, the Mishnah we pointed out contradicts itself. Because first it says to be careful, or vice versa. In other words, in either direction. Very nice. The problem is that then it says, don't act differently than the people around you. You just said, I have to keep my own corners. What do you mean, don't act differently than the people around me? What's that? Isn't that a contradiction? So one part of the contradiction I can answer for myself. To say that my minhag is to do malacha, and I'm going to a place where I don't do a malacha, okay? So then if I'm not doing malacha, from makom shalach l'sham, and I don't do malacha, v'al yishan adam mipnei machloket, adds up to the same thing. Don't cause a machloket by doing malacha, don't do malacha. But in the other direction, if I'm going in from a place where I don't do malacha to a place where they do malacha, you're telling me I'm supposed to keep the chumra, but then you say, but don't act different than anybody else. So what are you telling me now? So everybody else is working. You can't sit there and say, sorry, I don't work today. So you're telling me, so I have to work, but I thought I have a chumra that I'm supposed to follow my minhag that it's also to do malacha. So how can you tell me in one breath to do that? So the Navi, I should do the malacha? Adarchi said, I have to keep my minhag from back home also. Omer Abaye says, Abaye, you're right. The Mishnah actually breaks down at this point, and the part about the Al Yishaneh was only going on the Reisha. Because the Reisha, there's no contradiction. If you're going to a place where they did, so don't do. But it certainly doesn't make sense on the Sefer, so do, because then I'll be violating my own Chumrah. Rava says, no, there's no problem. It could go on the Sefer too. What the Mishnah means in the context of the Sefer, Al Yishaneh, is not necessarily don't do differently, but rather don't do that which, if done, would be done differently. But in this case where you don't do malacha, you are not doing anything different. And ain't b'zeh mishum machloket. Because what are you saying? That people who see you not doing malacha will say, aha, this guy thinks he's holier than thou. This guy holds the malacha's answer. No, they won't. They'll think you're a lazy, good-for-nothing bum who doesn't want to do malacha. So my comment, haroah omer malacha surah? No way. Neymar amanu, come about lami avi b'shuka, look around. Everybody's sitting there playing sheshpet and so on. It's another one of these guys. So memela, you're not going to be over. That's what it means. Al yishaneh, don't do something that's going to cause you to be looked at as if you're going against the minhag. But something that's passive in terms of the work is I consider it to be a violation of the minhag. Very, very sharp stuff. 1 minute here. We're doing our brief review. These aren't kutoy, but kutoy by time. So these people are going to be just as bad as kutoy. Nami Mr. Milsa. El Omer Ravashi Chazina. There you have a perfect picture of what Kuda Kasinan is not. Hold it up there.
Dilma.
Cowboy boots?
Yeah.
Actually, there's like elf shoes.
It's unbelievable. I don't think we found one that isn't a perfect illustration of what it is not in this case. Dilma mishtak chatorat chala minaya. V'yi ruban dag and achli nikla zabar pademata lafushim en achiv alaptam en atorat ufa. Dvorim amutorim vachirim nogu bem yisur yata rashay latirim bifneyem am rafkista bikutoy askinem. What? Only kutoy v'kuli amalo? V'atanya rocha tzun shnei achim keechad but not in kful, baby. U'maaseh b'yuravil abonav shalom gamlil shurocha tzun shneim keechad bikful v'lo zaleyem kol medina om miyameinu lo rainu kach. Wow! Finishmat hero v'yatzal beit achitzon v'lorat zalom alem mutarinatem. Yotzim b'kodekisun b'shabbat, but not in kodekisun b'biri. True, they're not kutayim, but b'nei medinat hayam nami kibdol shkichor abonag abayu, they're the same as kutim. Now, b'shtayim asav salay nochrim, mishum nimirzik imeka femenka. Kwele kisa nami dima mishtafim vato latinu arba amot pishutorabi. But roch hatzim, my time alo, kiretani makol adam rochetz kutmi aviv vachamivu ba'alim mo ba'alak oto. Rabbi Yehuda matir b'aviv b'tek kvod aviv, v'adil na'alim mo. Atu inu gotzor b'shnei achim, Mishum ba'al achoto. Tana. Talmid lo yirchatzim rabo, barim rabo tzarich lo mutar. Yata rabo barbar chana, ochal de aitra, o legabei rabo vira saba and rabo breder avuna, kiva de chazin al kasi aminayr. Ot vam le labai, I can't believe it. Shavim chut kikutoi. Rabo barbar chana, let le hot it's not. Lo dim alav chumlea makom shiatzama sham, vachumlea makom shalach hasham. Amr Abaye, Han imile mi bavel abavel mi Eretz Yisrael, inam imi bavel Eretz Yisrael, avo mi Eretz Yisrael abavel, we don't have to keep them in it. Because kima danan kafina lahu, avdina kapatayu. Ravashi Amr, afilu teimra mi Eretz Yisrael abavel, Han imile hecha deim da'ato lachzor, but Rabba Barbar Chana da'ato lachzor, avi mele he can keep the minig of Eretz Yisrael. Amr Rabba Barbar Chana levanei banai, לא תאכל לא בפניי ושלא לא בפניי. אני שראיתי את רבי יוחנן שאכל, כדאי הוא רבי יוחנן לסמוך עליו בפניו ושלא בפניו. אתה לא ראית אותו, לא תאכל בין בפניי בין שלא בפניי. פליק את ידי עד ידי. יאמר רבי בר חנה, סך לי רבי יוחנן בן אלעזר, פעם אחת נכנסתי אחרי שם בן רבי יוחנן בן קוניה לגינם, ונטל ספיחי כרוב ואכל, ונתן לי ואמר לי בני, בפניי אכול ושלא בפניי לא תאכל. אני שראיתי את רבשם ברוך חי שאכל כדאי רבשם היכל לסבוך עליו בפניו שלא בפניו. אתה בפניי אכול שלא בפניי לא תאכל. מהי רבי שמעון? דתני. שמעון אומר, כל הספיחים אסורים חוץ מספיחי כרוב, שאין כיוצא בהם בירק השדה. וכחמים אומרים, כל הספיחים אסורים including ספיחי כרוב. תבואי עליו לרבי עקיבא, דתני אין לו נזרע ולא נאסור בתבואתנו. אומר רבי עקיבא וכי מאחר שאין זורעים מאיך האוספים וכאן לסביכים שאין אסורים במייקה בפלגי רבו נצא וגזוין את סביכי כרוב אותו שר סביכי לאמה רב שמן צא ולא גזוין את סביכי כרוב אותו סביכי לאמה הולך ממקום שאין עושים מלאכת וייסה ורסה זה בשלמה הולך ממקום שעושים למקום שאין עושים נותנים עליו חומרי המקום שהלכו שם פלוס על ישנה אדם לפני המחלוקת עד זה לא לעבד, but the other direction, you're going ממקום שאין עושים, למקום שכן עושים, so first you tell me, how you shall now tell me מה המחלוקת, or what? ונעבד? But I thought it not doing from ממקום שאלך שם, from ממקום שאין עושים, which because I'm not allowed to. אמר רבי, you're right, הרשע, רוב אמר לי, עולם הסיפה also, but איך היא קמה? אין בזו מפני שינוי המחלוקת, because what are you afraid of? My comment. That Haroel Omer Milacha Surah, according to this guy, never. Meimer Amrik, I'm about Lani Havi Beshukar. Just chuck another one up.